22 this morning. I have these hanging things on these glasses. I just want you to know they're not permanent. This is for illustrative purposes only. All righty? And then they will no longer be on there. My little daughter, Susanna, asked on the way in, what are those things? I said, these are what old people wear. And she said, so you're going to wear them? I said, get out and walk. You're not going to church with me. Anyway, but that's funny. Church family, on these GPS series, I like to preach textual. We've done mostly stories during there, and I've used the principle from God, the proverb that we're studying. Today, I don't want to do that. This morning, I want to kind of teach almost topical this morning, but I want to look at this idea of favor, and I want to look at it from the book of Proverbs this morning for just a little bit. So let's go ahead and pray and ask God's blessing. I'm in Proverbs 22. We'll look at the verse here too. But Father, thank you for letting us be in church this morning. We come to you and ask that you'd speak to our hearts from your word. Help us, Father, whatever needs to be changed, that we would change, that we'd be willing to do what you want more than what we want. Lord, the idea of favor today, may we see how important it is to have your favor. And Lord, with your favor, we can have the favor of man also. God, give us now wisdom beyond our years. We love you and all that takes place today. May we point to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Just for me, the lesson this morning is on favor. It's kind of interesting. You know, when we talk about favor, we think sometimes think about favorites. I was in a conference one time, and a youth pastor had been at it for years. He made the statement. he said, put your effort into, now he didn't say it this way, but this is what he meant. Put your efforts into the favorites. Now, this was a youth pastor saying that. And by the way, when you hear that on the surface, you think to yourself, that's not right. Because God is no respecter of persons. Are you with me so far this morning? But churchman, can I tell you something? When this idea of favorites is here's what we really mean, okay? Put your efforts into somebody who wants it. Because you ever thought about who your favorites are when it comes to the house, when it comes to a classroom? Your favorites are the people who are obeying the rules, doing what's right, and they want it. Those end up being the favorite. They end up being the one that you want to invest in. Can I tell you, God has favorites, right? Now we say, well, you shouldn't have favorites. My mother used to tell, my siblings used to say that Scott was the favorite, mom's favorite, okay? And for the longest time, I denied it. I don't deny it any longer. I am. So what? All right? You know? Treat your mother right, you might be the favorite, okay? So this is just how it is, okay? So it doesn't bother me that they... Now, when I was growing up, I'd say, no, Susan's the favorite, or Mary's the favorite. I would never say David's the favorite, because he was never the favorite, okay? But we would tease about that. But truthfully, you probably have a favorite, and you'd like to say, no, I love all of my children. That's good. But, you know, normally the one that's the favorite is the one that takes an interest in you, or in the parent's situation, the one who obeys the rules, one who's doing what they're told. You have a tendency to lean toward that particular child. Now, this morning, can I tell you, we're all children. If you're saved this morning, how many saved? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, then you're a child of God. And you ought to want his favor, all right? You say, well, I might not be the favorite, but you ought to want God's favor. Now, this morning, I know this is kind of unusual because you have a Sunday school lesson full of I'm not going to go through the lesson this morning, but you have in there how to find favor with God, how to find favor with man, how to find favor. In Proverbs, it doesn't use the word leadership. It uses the word king, how to find the king's favor, leadership's favor. So there's a lot of things in your Sunday school lesson. You also have the story of Esther, which is kind of interesting because it says that she found favor with all those that looked upon her. Think about it. A person, no matter who she came in contact with, she found favor from them. And again, there's things about Esther's life also. Now, I know this is going to be kind of unusual, but I feel like this is what the Lord wants me to do this morning. I want to talk to you for just a few moments on finding favor with God. And I only specifically want to do it from Proverbs this morning. Now, in your Sunday school lesson, there's probably 10 or 12 different things on how to find favor both with God and with man. But it's interesting how God, writing a book for just the young people. Now, I think that the significance this morning is if you still have children or grandchildren, this is very important for us to teach our children that life is not about, you know, finding favor with the boss as much as it's finding favor with God. Just let me think for a second here. In marriage, you married that person because they found favor in your eyes. That's why you married them. There was favor found, okay? When Seth sometimes, of course, I have to drag things out of him. He's not the most open as far as a communicative type person. But so when he comes home, he thinks it's interrogation. It's just questions. You know, how'd work go today? What'd you do today? You know, he always rolls his eyes a little bit with me, you know, like, Dad, you have to ask these kind of questions. Yeah, I'm your dad. I want to know what's going on in your life. So... And so they're working him more hours. And I just told him, I said, listen, that's good they want to work you more hours. And it's good that they're putting you on that particular shift. I mean, obviously, that's a good thing. Now, he doesn't see things like a parent. He sees things like a teenager that's half dumb. But anyway, but I think it's important. I want him to find favor at work. But can I tell you something? More than finding favor at work, he needs to find favor with God. All right? Now, church family, in the book of Proverbs, there are only four things that are mentioned that if you do these four things, you're going to find favor with God. Now, I understand you know it. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 4. Why was the book written? All right, the whole book, the only book that's written to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Only book written specifically for young people, all right? And so we're young at heart, amen? So the book was written to us. Now, all the Bible, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, so all the Bible's for us. But it's the only book written specifically for young people. Now, watch for a second here. If we can get our young people to understand that they'll do these four things, they're going to find favor with God. Now, church family, if you find favor with God, you're on your road to finding favor with man. Now, there are going to be times we're not going to find favor with man. You stand for Christ, there's sometimes people are not going to like you. You give the gospel, sometimes people are not going to like you. That's a normal thing. But as a general rule, you ought to want to find favor. What's the word favor? It means kindness, or if I can say graciousness given from somebody else towards you. You want to find favor with people, all right? You say, Pastor Hanks, I don't care what people think. Okay, you just lied. How do you know that? Look at our text verse, Proverbs 22:1. All right, you ready? Proverbs 22:1, here's what we're going to start this morning. It says this, you know it by heart. A good man, Proverbs 22:1, all right? A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And let's say the last phrase together, ready? And loving favor rather than silver and gold, all right? Church family, I don't think I'm going to do this very often, but I need to get this out of my way this morning. Let me put this on. How many of you wear glasses around your neck? Anybody at all? Whoa, too many. Put your hands down. You guys are scaring me. That many people wear them around your neck like that? Wow. Okay, you don't wear them like that? Okay. All right, good. There's just a feeling that goes with this. All right. I'm sorry, I shouldn't do that. I'm just joking. All right. Okay, so I feel a little weird. Anyway. I want to use this illustration in just a second. But what I want you to think about this morning is this: a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Every person wants favor. Whether we say it or not, we want favor. I have staff, and as they get older, the one thing I've noticed about staff is that staff wants to know they're needed. And staff wants to know that they're going the right direction. There's just something about there's a feeling that, and by the way, I think that's not just staff thing. That's a Christian. That's a person thing, I should say. We want to know that we're needed. We want to know that we're appreciated. What are we looking for? We're looking for favor. Every person wants to have that kindness shown to them. Now, church, let me think for a second here. The most important person, speaking of God, capital P, the most important person we ought to want a favor from is we ought to want favor from God. Now, I want to walk through these quickly this morning. I know this is teaching Sunday school, so we're okay. I want you to look at the first one, just a couple, Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to stay in the book. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse number 3 with me. All right, you got your Bible there? Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 3. Most of these Proverbs you probably already know by heart. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 3 and 4, they kind of go together. I call chapter number 3, verses 1 through 12, command and reward. God gives a command in the first verse, gives the reward in the second verse. He does that verse 1 and 2, verse 3 and 4, verse 5 and 6, verse 7 and 8, verse 9 and 10, verse 11 and 12. Command, reward, command, reward, command, reward. So what's the command, verse number 3? Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. What's the reward? So shalt thou find favor and good understanding where? Sight of God and man. So in other words, if I'm going to find favor, in other words, the reward of finding favor with God and man, now God's what we're looking for this morning, then I need to have mercy and truth in my life, all right? Well, the word mercy simply means kindness. The word truth simply means saying that which is true, all right? So God says that if I have mercy and truth in my life, there are only two people in Scripture the Bible says actually had mercy and truth as far as the statement, and that's Samuel and Jesus Christ. Samuel, it says he found favor with God and man. Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says he found favor with God and man. And in order for a person to find favor both with God and man, a person has to have mercy and truth. All right? Now, church, let me think. Now, in our lives, what is mercy and truth? If I'm going to have God's favor in my life, I've got to do that which is true, but I've got to have mercy doing it. All right? A person made the statement years ago, and I think it's so true. Mercy without truth is compromise. Truth without mercy is cruelty. In other words, I, I'm, I'm a I'm an independent fundamental Bible believing Baptist. I believe that book from cover to cover. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and that there is nothing in the Word of God that we are not capable of doing and that we should not be doing. I believe the Bible teaches us about life, about finances, about marriage, and I believe very strongly about all those things. But wait a second here. I know what the truth is, right? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the Word of God is truth, right? All you want me this morning, say amen. So in other words, if I live my life just by truth and I have no mercy, then that means I tell a person, you're going to hell. You don't believe in Jesus Christ? You're going to hell. Is that true? Is a person going to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, but we don't go to somebody's door and knock on the door and say, hey, do you know Christ is your Savior? And they say, no. And then we say, well, you're going to hell. We don't do that, do we? Please don't do that. At least don't hand our track out when you do it. All right? You know, truth says this is what the truth is, but mercy says, hey, listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his own. God loves you. And though hell was created for those who reject Christ, God loved you and Jesus died so you could go to heaven. You know what that is? It's mercy. You know, we've said this before too, and it's also true. People are not so upset with our position as much as they are upset with our disposition. In other words, they don't get upset with what we believe. They get upset on how we portray what we believe. You know, sometimes if you're a first generation Christian and you're saved and your family's not, your family looks at you like, you know, where you're involved in a cult. You know, they go to church that much. You actually give tithes. They expect you to give. They expect you to dress like a Christian, act like a Christian, talk like a Christian. That's a cult. My church family. Can I just say it because you already know it? I'm sick and tired of people using the word legalism. For years, people didn't use it. And now the word's come back again. A legalist is a person who believes that you have to obey the law in order to go to heaven. Okay? Church family, the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. The law doesn't get me to heaven. Christ gets me to heaven. So we're not legalists, all righty? We have liberty, but we're not legalists. Liberty means we have freedom to do what we believe the Bible teaches. We have the liberty. We've got the freedom. God gave us a free choice, okay? But my liberty does not cross over to legalism because, if I don't follow the Bible to an exact T, that means I'm not going to heaven. Then what you're saying is I'm saved by works, not by grace. Are we all together on that? Okay, I think so. So what I'm trying to say is this, is that if I'm going to find favor with God, I have to have both mercy and truth. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Isn't it interesting God said the rod and reproof? You know, there's sometimes you spank your children, and then there's other times you reprove your children. You know what that is? It's mercy and truth. I deal with this all the time with the staff, with Sunday school teachers, with bus captains. I said, now listen, bus captain comes to me and says, this kid was messing around. I want to pull his hair out. I don't want him ever coming back again. And I said, now listen here, we have to go with what's truth. What's the policy? We have a written policy as far as offenses. And he says, well, it's the first time it's happened. Well, then the truth of the matter is, if it happens the first time, you have to warn them. Happens again, they're suspended for 2 weeks. Happens again, I think it's a month, and I think after that, 6 months. But we have a policy, a written policy that we follow. So truth says, hey, this kid doesn't deserve to come back to church as a bus captain. This kid, but wait a second here. Mercy says, I'm going to warn him. If this happens again, this is what the penalty is. Mercy and truth in our life. Raising your children, what does it take? It takes mercy and truth. You know, have you ever noticed that if you have more than one child, this is so much the case. Have you ever noticed that your children know how to raise children? Have you ever noticed that your children know exactly what it means to be a parent? Have you ever noticed that your children know when the other siblings need a spanking? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. My kids haven't become parents yet, but they are the best parents in the world. Because they know exactly what my wife and I should be doing as far as raising them because they've had so many years of experience of it. Hey, children, you know, mercy and truth. Sometimes we spank our children. Sometimes we reprove our children. Sometimes we compliment our children. By the way, part of refining a child is compliment. So in other words, God's looking at you and I want God's favor in my life. How do I get God's favor in my life? It's a combination. It's a combination of truth. This is what the Bible says. This is what I'm going to follow. But it's mercy. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. When it comes to the Christian school, Brother Daniels, by the way, I tell you, God's been very gracious in our Christian school because parents do not come to me, and I'm very, 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 very thankful for that. They go to Brother Daniels because Brother Daniels is the principal of Christian school, and now we're to an age of our school now that nobody comes to me. Brother Daniels, tell you, the chain of command, you're more than welcome to go to the pastor, but I like it person go to him. Well, when Brother Daniels comes to me with a problem in the Christian school, I always tell him, okay, this is where you're going to stand, but where are you going to give? Now, I know that sounds almost compromising, but it's a combination of mercy and truth, okay? We have to obey the rules, but this is what I can do about that, okay? So, okay, I'm going to spank you and not just I'm not going to suspend you. Or hey, listen, your suspension should be 3 days. It's going to be 1 day. There's things that we can do to show mercy and truth, but still abide by what's true. God's looking for that in your life. Hey, you're working a job. And, truth says, hey, that guy broke the rules. He shouldn't be working here longer. Maybe you're the employer. But mercy says, okay, now listen, I'm going to have to do something. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I could do, but I'm not going to do it. That's combination of mercy and truth. So the first thing is if I'm going to find favor with God, I have to have mercy and truth. Second one, look at your Bible again. I think it's Proverbs chapter 12. We'll go to that one next. Proverbs chapter number 12, look at verse number 1. All right, so first of all, I'm going to practice mercy and truth. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 2. I'm sorry, it's your verse for today. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 2 says, a good man, what? Obtaineth favor from who? Obtaineth favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. All right? Now, just let me think for a second here. Is this as far as our actions? A good man, a person who lives a good life, a person who's doing that which is right, brings favor. We get that favor. Just like a parent and a child. The child that obeys the rule and is willing to do that, then guess what that does? That causes us to give them favor in our life. God shows us favor by obeying the rules. What rules? The rules of the Word of God. All right, so a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. A person with mercy and truth is going to obtain favor of the Lord. And so again, that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that we do that which is right. Even a child is known by his what? All right, so you're known by your doings. God knows you by your doings. God says, hey, listen, I'm pleased with you when you do that which is right. All right, look at another one with me. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. I know I told you there's four, so I'm going to try to hustle here. Proverbs chapter 8, look at verse number 5. 35, end of the chapter. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35. Verse number 34 says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, the me there being wisdom, wisdom personified as God. But in verse number 35, it says, for whoso findeth me, talking about wisdom, findeth life, and shall obtain what? Favor of the Lord. All right? So, church family, here's what God says. God says, you're going to have favor from me if you have mercy and truth. You're going to have favor from me if you do that which is right. Number 3, you're going to have favor from me if you get wisdom. All right? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. Okay, so the first thing in life that we need to do on a regular basis is get wisdom. How do I get it? Okay, it's real simple. How do I get wisdom? James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. How do I get wisdom? Jeremiah chapter number 3, verse number 15. He says, and I shall give you pastors who will give you knowledge and understanding according to my heart. So where do we get wisdom? It's from preaching, of course, the man of God. The Word of God, Psalm chapter 19, number 3. Where do I get wisdom? Word of God, Psalm 19, I don't think it's verse number 12, talking about making wise the simple. A person who gets in the Word of God is going to get wisdom. Where do I get wisdom? Reproof. Proverbs 15, 31, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Now, don't let me lose you this morning. All I'm trying to get you to see is this. If I'm going to find favor with God, I need to get wisdom. Think about it. What's wisdom worth? It's worth more than gold, silver, rubies, or all you could ever desire. The most important thing of life is that God would teach me from His Word. You know, again, I know a lot of people give different definitions of wisdom. Years ago, I used to say wisdom is seeing things through God's eyes. We would say wisdom is seeing things as God sees them and doing accordingly. I think the best definition is Bible definition, Proverbs 2, verse number 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and understanding is coming out of the mouth of God, which is wisdom, all right? Now, church family, you've been with me for years. Let me repeat again, in your memory's sake, what's wisdom? Knowledge is the facts. Understanding is the comprehension of those facts. Wisdom is the use or application of those facts. So in other words, if I'm going to please God, if I'm going to have his favor, I need to get wisdom. All right, so what's wisdom? It's the facts, understanding, and using those facts. In other words, what facts? The facts of the Word of God. So as a Christian, I don't live my life based upon human reasoning or even human knowledge. I base my life upon the wisdom of God. Where's the wisdom of God come from? Primarily the Word of God. Now, God uses other things in our life. He uses the Word of God. He uses preaching. He uses reproof. He uses wise men. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be what? All right, so there's a lot of places for us to get wisdom. And God says, if you can get wisdom, that makes me happy with you. That makes me favorable. My wife and I were getting ready this morning. We're talking about the two oldest ones, Seth and Samuel. And, of course, Seth has already graduated. Samuel's right behind him. He graduates this year. But my wife and I were discussing, you know, what the next step is for the two of them. Now, they, to a degree, some of them probably think, they probably think a little bit as far as what they think the next step is. But I can't get out of my mind Psalm 127 when it talks about arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Of course, having the quiver full of them is part of that. But the idea of the mighty man has got a bow, all right? It's important which way the mighty man is pointing the arrow, which is the son, the daughter, the child. So any way you look at it, I know that Seth and Samuel are 17. They reminded me for the first time last night that this summer they will be 18 years old. And I like look at them and say, so what does that mean? Okay. 18, they're all of a sudden mature. 18, they're all of a sudden ready for life, I guess, okay? But my, but as dad, I'm concerned about which way I'm supposed to point the arrow somewhere. I'm to be honest with you, I'm not sure exactly where to point the arrow for Seth and Samuel. I'm still praying and seeking the Lord's face, and the Lord's going to show, but I'm concerned for the two of them because wherever that arrow flies, once the arrow's out of the bow, I'm done. How many of you, the arrow's already gone, all right? All right, now I'm not going to ask you this question, but for me, I don't want to regret which way the arrow went. So it's intense for me because I want to make sure the arrow's going in the right direction because once the arrow's gone, I can't pull the arrow back and say, let's try shooting this one again. So you know what I need? What do I need as a Christian? If I'm going to know which direction is to shoot the arrow, what do I need? Wisdom. And if I get wisdom, I get God's favor. But isn't that a wonderful thing? In other words, God says, I want to give you something that's worth more than gold, silver, rubies you could ever desire. And if you get it, then I'm going to be happy with you. I'm going to show you favor. I'm going to show you kindness if you get that. All right? So we all need wisdom in every area of our life. All right? Doesn't matter if it's raising children. It could be a thousand other things. All right? So how do I get favor with God? All right? Sorry, I appreciate your attentiveness this morning. I'm almost done. Think about it. If I'm going to have God's favor, all right, the first thing I want to do is get mercy and truth. By the way, the reason I was wearing these glass things is because of the verse, Proverbs 3, 3 and 4, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck. You know, when we put things around our neck, it's because it's of ready use. In other words, I can, you know, pop them up back and forth instead of trying to, where'd my glasses go? I've got them right there handy, okay? That's the idea of mercy and truth. It's supposed to always be handy in every decision of our life. So mercy and truth, the second one is doing good, the third one is getting wisdom. Now, I want to talk about this last one, and I know some of you are going to think, Pastor Fink, that has nothing to do with us. It's going to have, it will when I'm done, all right? Proverbs chapter 18, look at your Bible. I want you to see this one. Proverbs 18, last of all, if I'm going to get God's favor, look at verse number 22, Proverbs 18, 22. Chapter 18, verse number 22 says this, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and what? Obtain the favor of the Lord. Now, church family, give me liberty this morning. I know there's people in here that are not married, but you got to follow. You need to follow the thought process, because I'm not the one to put this in the Bible. God put it in the Bible, okay? So let me just talk to you for just a moment about this. And the reason I want to talk about it, and the reason I feel like the Lord led me this direction, is because some of you have children that are of marrying age, all right? They're going to get to that age. My boys, last night, we were talking after family altar, and they found out that my dad, the church I grew up in, he had teen Valentine banquets, okay? Now, I've been here 25 years, and I've never had a teen Valentine banquet, okay? And my whole purpose for not having a teen Valentine banquet is because they're not ready to get married, so why start the spark, all right? All right, that's just me. I know you'll go to other churches, and there'll be a high priority on the dating thing. And you know what? I figured out a long time ago that they are going to figure out, without me prompting, that, hey, that girl looks pretty. Or the girl's going to think, hey, I'd like to marry that thing, all right? I don't have to promote that because they will figure it out all by their lonesome, okay? So anyway, my boys are giving me a hard time. He says, well, how come we don't get to have teen Valentine banquets? I said, because you don't need one. You're not ready to get married. Now, I looked over at Stephen. I'm thinking, you'll never be ready to get married. But anyway. Okay, so here's what I want you to see this morning about this idea. If this finds favor with God... Now, I'm not trying to use deductive reasoning over the Word of God, but it does not say whoso findeth a husband findeth a good thing. It says whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Okay, now we like to tease about the thing, but I don't think he's not giving a sarcasm there at all. But the idea is the man is supposed to be the one looking for the wife, not the wife looking for the man. You know, I know that we're living in a society where people get really nervous. 90% of people get married 90% of people 50 and under get married. So, I mean, 9 out of 10 people are going to get married, all right? So, I mean, according to statistics, okay? And by the way, if God does not lead you to get married, it doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. You know, we used to make the statement, you know, it's God's will for everybody to get married. I can't really say that it's God's will for everybody to get married, but I do believe this. If you're going to get married, God's got a perfect will for your life. So we don't want to miss that, you know. Samuel, I think, made the statement last night. We were talking about a lot of things last night, but Samuel made the statement last night, you know, because I was talking, I said, listen, we need to pray about whether or not you should go away this first year. And I said, I'm not opposed to going away. We didn't have this conversation last night. I've had it a month or two back. And so he made the statement last night as far as if he stays here for the year, goes to college and that kind of thing, here for a year before he goes away. He says, but Dad, I might miss that one I'm supposed to marry. I said, don't worry about it. You're not going to miss it. All right. Hey, so here's what I'm trying to say. God says there's a certain amount of favor that God gives to a person. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So it's important. Now, church, I want to, again, I want to take your mind back to the book of Genesis, but do you remember when Adam, remember what God said? It's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a what? A helpmeet. Now, can I tell you that God found the first one for the first man, and God can still find the one for our children. You know, I don't know how you are as a parent, but if till death do you apart means that, you take the marriage vows, then it's very important to get the right one the first time around. Are we okay on that? Okay. So if that's the case, there's really not a second chance. Once you marry, it's for life. Do we all still agree that? We agree that, right? That's what the Lord wants, all right? Now, what I'm trying to get you to think about is this, is when it comes to our children, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, shall obtain favor of the Lord. We want our kids to find favor, but we want to make sure they get the right one. So in this passage here, it's interesting that when you think about finding a wife, some things that a person needs to keep in mind is two things, okay? When it comes to our children is this. Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 10, remember the verse? Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? So when the Bible makes the statement, who can find, it gives the idea of rarity. It's hard to find. Who can find a virtuous woman? All right, so when it comes to our children finding a spouse, that we need to make sure they understand a virtuous woman is rare. I had a guy when I was in college, I got to finish up here, but I had a guy when I was in college made this statement, verse number 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Verse number 29. I'm sorry, I've got you started and I've got to finish this. Let me see how this thing starts real quick. Proverbs 31, verse number 29. Oh yeah, there it is. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. I had a guy when I was in college, he said, I want to get that one. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. He said, now he wasn't even married, all right? And to be honest with you, he was different. But anyway, he said, I want to get that one, the one that excels them all. All right? Now, he didn't get him. I got her. But in fact, I think he liked you. It was Kriegel, Ed Kriegel. Did he like you? That means yes. Okay, good. He lost. I won. So anyway, can I tell you, though, there is a one. And when I say there is a one, we want to make sure our kids find the right one. And they ought to want to get the virtuous one. All right. Now, there's one other thing I thought with that as far as whoso findeth a wife, them getting favor, getting the right one, is number one, a virtuous one is rare. But I want you to think about this. Proverbs 19:14 says this, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, but a prudent wife is from, who knows the last two words? From the Lord. So in other words, a virtuous woman is rare, but the Lord can help you find her. All righty. So these kids that are going to college, I've got to finish up. I'm sorry, but I don't want to belabor this. I wish I had more time to talk to you about this. All right, so our kids are going to go to college, okay? Our kids who go to college does not give them a free open door to marry whoever they want. They should still be talking to mom and dad to find out, hey, listen, I met this particular person. What do you think about this particular person? I think it's wise for them to call their pastor, whether the pastor knows who they are or not, so he can be praying that they get the right one. You know what happens with a lot of young people? They fall in love, and I say that's kind of a misnomer, fall in love, but anyway, what happens is they give their heart. That's a better statement. They give their heart to one another, and then they come and ask your approval on what they've already done. As soon as they start to be interested in somebody, they ought to be trying to check with mom and dad, what do you think about this person? All righty? Because once you've given their heart, what are you going to, you either got to put your stamp of approval on it, or they're going to be sneaking behind your back. All right? So again, the idea of us as our children, if they're going to find favor with God, yeah, you should get married, and you ought to find the one that God has for you. And there is a virtuous woman out there, and they are rare, but God can help you find that one. All right, so find the one. Amen? All right, now I know you say, Pastor, we're already married, and you ought to feel like yours is the one. But we have children that are growing up, and you have children that are at your house, that we got to continue to guide to make sure they get the one. Because I want to tell you something. You and I are going to be gone one of these days. They're going to live out their life, and they ought to live out their life for Christ.
Amen.
Listen, I was at I went by somebody's house the other day that was in our church 15 years ago. And sweet people. And I love them. They're sweet people. And they didn't leave bad at all. They were good people. And I hadn't seen them for probably almost that long. I'm going to guess 15 years. I mean, I've been here 25, so I mean, that should be 15 years ago. And I said, hey, how's your son doing? I hung their head a little bit. Well, this last year he got a divorce. They've been married like 8 or 9 years, got a divorce. You know, for the next 15, 20 minutes, you know what we talked about? How hard that divorce was. Not just on him, but on the parents. And what's going on with the kids that were born from the first marriage and how they're getting a second marriage. And just, I mean, until we get to heaven, we're not going to be perfect people. But listen, there's some things that we could do to make sure that our kids marry well and stay married. And you know what? They find favor with God by doing it. So four things that cause us to find favor with God. First one being, make sure you have what? Combination of two things. Make sure you have what? Mercy and truth. All right. Number two, make sure you do what? Do good. All right. Good man obtained a favor. Number three, get what? What should you get? Wisdom. Get wisdom. Very good. Number four, what's the last thing you should do? Find a wife. All right. Just find a wife. Find it the good thing. Amen. How many's glad you're married this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
That was your cue to get a pat on the back, guys. Come on now.